Welcome. Very grateful to be here with all of you. And since you have already been sitting so long, I will just sit here for a few minutes. Would anyone like to ask any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, in the morning you are describing that we should be free from pride, and it's very difficult to be free from this tendency of impressing others. So this seems to be very deep rooted. So I wanted to ask how to find, how do we get away with, how do we try to get rid of this tendency of impressing others? This comes out in other forms, different forms. Even if when try to speak about Krishna, this tendency is appears.
Like that. Any other questions?
Maharaj, can I ask? Maharaj, This very famous statement of Srila Prabhupada just few days before he in Vrindavan, where he said, "You can show your love for me on how we cooperate." And practically, personally speaking, I just see that when there is a huge expansion in the preaching mission, at least to my small intelligence, it appears very difficult to really cooperate and have a personal relationship with the fellow devotees because of the expansion. So how do we really achieve this in service to Radha Gopinath or wherever we are serving?
Waiting for some baby to cry. Srila Prabhupada said, when we call out Krishna's name like a baby for mother, the baby knows no one but the mother to protect. When we have that humility and that sincerity in calling Krishna's name, then Radharani Krishna will manifest to us within the name. Cooperation is only possible when we prioritize higher principles over lower principles. The nature of the world, there are unlimited variegated reasons to fight, to disagree, to disunite. There's no shortage. It doesn't take anybody with great intelligence or realization to do that. But what is the sign of greatness is when we focus on a higher principle and adjust all the lower principles accordingly. for cooperation. Is the way we show our love for God. Srila Prabhupada says, you will show your love for me by how you cooperate. Do we want to please our Guru? Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. We may be right. We may be victorious in an argument or debate. So that's a very lower level. We won. But if we displease Krishna from a spiritual perspective, we've lost. We've totally lost. It's better to lose and win than win and lose. And that is why it is important. Nasta praeshya bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. That we hear very carefully from Srimad Bhagavatam. That we hear Hari Katha. Because it clarifies our priorities. What is really actually important? Is it important to have a nicely decorated house if your whole family dies inside of the house? The whole purpose of a nice house is to have a happy family. Yes? So in our making arrangements and management and so many other things, is it a success? Even if we're super excellently managed according to our particular thoughts of how it should be done, people are miserable. If Krishna is not pleased, working hard and not pleasing Krishna is like working for days to make an offering and never bothering to put it on the altar. Is that an offering? So that's the simple principle. What will please Krishna? What will please Guru? Cooperation. Cooperation based on higher principles. And yes, as things expand, there's just more reasons for there to be disagreements. But if we're sincere, and this is actually a symptom of sincerity, if we're actually sincere, then we will strive to keep focused that higher principle. Does that answer your question?
Maharaj, I have a small question in my mind.
Say again.
There's a small question in his mind.
I have a small question.
That's all? You are definitely a great yogi if you only have one small question in mind.
Maharaji, we do devotional service for Krishna. Because we need to do that. With respect to Krishna, the Supreme Person, he needs our devotional service.
What did he say?
Devotional service, but does Krishna need it?
Does Krishna need our devotional service? He doesn't need anything. Krishna's Atmarama. When you take water from the river Ganges, the Ganga, and you say a prayer and offer the water to the Ganga, does Ganga need that handful of water from you? Is she going to dry up if you don't give her that pound full of water? Is her current going to be diverted back to the Himalayas if you don't give her that handful of water? You're taking it from her and you're dropped. There's unlimited liters of water in the Ganga. And there's hardly an ounce in your hand. Does she need that? We need to offer it for our spiritual purification. She doesn't need anything, but she wants our love. So when we take that water from her and offer it back with love, she's happy. Are you a parent? No? That's why you only have one small question. Many larger questions will come. But if a child takes a rose from the mother's garden for her birthday and offers it to the mother, or if the father gives the child some allowance, some money every week, and he goes out and takes all that money to buy a gift for his father for his birthday, is the mother happy with the flower? She's already grown the flower. The flower belongs to her. Is she pleased when the son gives her a flower, the little boy? Is the father pleased when the boy, with that whatever money the father has given, he buys a gift and gives it with love? The mother is probably more pleased with that little flower offered with love than if someone else, just to try to impress her or get some favor for her, buys her a diamond necklace. Yes? So it's love that pleases the heart of Krishna. He doesn't need anything. He's given us our body. He's given us our minds, our intelligence. He's given us the world with all the facilities. But the purpose of this body, the purpose of this mind, and the purpose of the whole world is an opportunity to reciprocate love. That's actually the purpose of everything that exists, as a facility to reciprocate love. But unfortunately, we forget that, our ego. We want to exploit. We want to debate. We want to fight over the resources of this world. We abuse and misuse. In the pursuit of happiness. But it doesn't bring happiness. It brings entanglement. It causes us to go farther and farther and farther from our real happiness. But the whole world and everything in it, the body, the mind, the intelligence, all resources are ultimately meant as facilities for loving exchange. And then when we see in that perspective, then we actually see life in truth. It's a broader vision. It's a deeper vision. When we see in that perspective, then all the selfish little petty desires that will just pop into our mind from time to time, they're not important. But if we don't have that higher conception, then all those little petty desires and egos that come to our mind, they have enormous importance, because that's all there is. Small things appear very big when there's nothing else. But when there's something very big, then small things are seen for what they are. So God doesn't need anything. But God wants us to be happy. And our happiness is in love, in praying. Huh? Speak in microphone, please.
He says, is God happy or unhappy?
God is Satchit Ananda. He is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of unlimited happiness. He is Ram, the reservoir of all pleasure. But his happiness is supreme love. And part of that happiness is to be unhappy, to see if we're unhappy. He's absolutely happy in himself, in her, Radharani, in herself. But in that happiness, there's an unhappiness to see you and me unhappy. So we can make Radha Gopinath happy by being happy. But the right kind of happiness.
This morning we heard about how Lord Krishna purified Trinavarta from his false pride in a very violent way, and the class was very enlivening about how we can curb our false pride, ahankar. I would like to inquire in the same vein about the life of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he helped purify his devotees of their false pride, some examples so that we can continue our purification.
Hari Hari. Krishnananda Prabhu told the story of the brahmachari who was just drinking milk. That was one way that Lord Chaitanya curbed his false pride. Somehow he had pride that he was very special and superior to others because of his austerities. Yes? And therefore he felt a certain entitlement for mercy, because he was very, very austere, only drinking little milk. But Lord Chaitanya chastised him so severely, it went right to the core of his heart, that whatever austerities I'm doing, if it's not pleasing the Lord, it has no spiritual value whatsoever. So it didn't say that he started eating a lot of rasgullas. But he came back, when the Lord saw that he was grateful for being chastised, when he was grateful for being publicly humiliated, the Lord realized the pride is gone. The pride is gone, and he called him back and gave him the highest perfection. And there are other incidents we heard in the class today about that tailor. Just because he was dear to a great devotee of the Lord, by that association he was cured of pride. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopiva. When we associate with Krishna, we become purified. We associate anything that's connected to Krishna, we can become purified. We heard the story of the tigers and the deers. They have all kinds of false pride. But by the loving grace of the Lord, they were cleansed of that pride. Jagai and Madhai, they had so much pride. But when they were blessed by the grace of the Lord and the devotees. So basically this is how Lord Chaitanya taught. That one opens one's hearts to receive the grace and the blessings of the Lord and the devotees. Then one can overcome pride. Ready? Again, a higher principle. If we're proud of Krishna, if we're proud of other devotees, then we don't have that pitiable neophyte need to find pride in ourselves. We can be proud of ourselves in the sense of being grateful. But that gratitude humbles, that type of pride humbles us. It's not false pride. Because false pride is like a parasite. It just wants to eat us away and it's never satisfied. It's like if you have a parasite in your body, the doctor doesn't say, just keep feeding it. And keep it satisfied. Because as soon as it digests something, it wants more and more and more and more. So false pride is like fire. The more fuel you give it, the more it burns, the more it needs, the more it wants, the more it craves. That's false pride. The real pride is to really feel good about the good fortune that you have received. To really feel good that the opportunities that I have done something that has pleased the Lord. That humbles us. It doesn't infatuate us. When we accomplish something and please Krishna in a nice way, we should feel very happy. Humility doesn't mean I feel miserable about whatever good I do. We should feel, but our happiness should be with gratitude. That type of pride actually is foundational for humility. Does that answer your question? Yes. Microphone is coming.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. My question is that Maharaj, all munis and the devotees, there are difference between the meditation. The meditation, what munis do, that is somewhere it is connected with, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mental speculation. And the devotees, they are doing the meditation that would be depend on the leelas what we are, reading and hearing. So my question is how we can, control on our thoughts, because thoughts cannot be controlled by mind. So if sometime we are also thinking about, how Krishna is doing, what he would be doing in his Golok Vrindavan Dham. So that way, is that we are committing offenses to our thoughts, like what is the thought process going on in our mind? That is mental speculation or what is that?
Wondering what Krishna is doing? Is that that what you're asking?
Yeah.
That's very nice. Meditation means to fix our consciousness on the Lord. That's the according to Gita, that's the perfection of the meditation. And different types of yogis have different forms of meditation because they approach different aspects of the one Lord. Brahmaiti, Paramatmaiti, Bhagavan iti shabdite. Some are trying to meditate on Brahman, the all-pervading aspect of the Lord. Some are trying to meditate on the Paramatma, the Lord, who is situated within the heart of every living being. Yoginam api sarvesha madgate nantaratmana. Krishna tells that the most intimate form of yoga is to meditate on the supreme, all-attractive, all-loving Lord, who is within our heart, who has his eternal abode, and who is the source of the all-pervading. So chanting is a form of meditation. Sitting in a class on the scripture is a form of meditation. Deity worship is a form of meditation. Seva, offering service, working in a spirit of devotion, is a form of meditation. They're all ways of absorbing our hearts in active, loving service to the Lord. Or for some, it's more in a passive form of absorbing oneself in the Lord. Is there any one more question? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, in earlier ages, it is said that people were very pious, they were very much intelligent. But in this age of Kali Yuga, the people are very much fallen. Still, why Krishna himself incarnated very mercifully as holy names in this age?
Very nice question. For that very reason. Because people in this age have such inclination to quarrel, to fight, to be hypocritical. The attention span is so distracted. That the same result one can get by spending one's entire life sitting in focused, total meditation in a secluded place, one can get the same goal as that in Satya Yuga simply by chanting Krishna's names. And you hear those children playing outside? Hear them? Well, the reason they're out there is because they don't like to sit through these boring classes. Classes are boring for them. But when the kirtan starts, they will run upstairs and they will chant and dance and be happy. Yes? So kirtan is so pleasing and it is so easy. And God has come in His name. Because it is so simple, but yet so powerful. Actually, God is always in His name. But in this age of Kali, this is the method that is most highly recommended because it's so simple. And literally anyone could do it. All it takes is some sincerity. And that is the Lord's kindness. That He makes Himself so accessible to everybody and anybody. Haribo. So now we will have kirtan. But I would like to thank all of you from my heart of hearts. I will be departing tonight for Moscow, where it is very cold and snowy, and I will be remembering Radha Gopinath Temple in great separation. But my sincere and most heartfelt request is this wonderful gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us of a family of devotees, opportunities, not only to enrich our own lives with the greatest treasures of devotion, opportunities to share this great treasure with others, be grateful and express that gratitude by keeping this higher principle always in the forefront. Don't let the ego deceive you to ruin your chances for spiritual progress in the name of getting ahead. By our cooperation, by our humble demeanor, by our eagerness to serve, by our eagerness to chant, we can access blessings and grace that will empower us to overcome all obstacles. And obstacles will be there. Never think that taking to a spiritual life means the problems will go away. Problems will always be. Spiritual life doesn't solve the problem. Well, let me word it differently. Spiritual life doesn't mean the problems will not be there. Spiritual life gives us the tools by which we could transcend the problems. The problems of old age, disease, and death. That's going to happen no matter what you do. But we can transcend those problems by realizing the eternal nature of the soul. The problems of all adiatmika, adidaivika, adibhautika. It's not that if you chant your rounds nicely, then from that day on, all the newspapers are going to only have good news. The bad news will always be there. But we can transcend all that. And not only that, we can actually have some power to help other people transcend all that. And we try to work in this world to make it the best we can. But still, it is what it is. Things are temporary. There's so much fighting. There's so much ego. To be transcendental. Don't be concerned so much with what you're getting. The spiritual principle is be concerned with what you're giving. Because you have, every one of us has, the authority to ourselves to give. But we don't have the authority for others to give to us. Yes? We have that free will. So if we find happiness in what we're giving to others, we can be happy in every situation. But if we're expecting, then things are beyond our control, and it's just not always the way it is. A society of devotees is not that everybody is going to be nice to me. The only way that could happen is if everybody's thinking, I'm going to be nice to everyone else. Then everyone will be nice to you. Yes? So be part of the solution, don't be part of the problem. And we can only do that when we param drishtva nivartate, when we experience a higher taste. That is why we do our sadhana. That is why we come for our satsang. That's why we do our puja. That's why we do our seva. So we could have that higher taste. But if we don't take that higher taste and utilize it in that spirit of giving the grace of Krishna to others, being an instrument to give the grace of Krishna through myself to others, then we'll lose the grace we're getting. Srila Prabhupada gave us the explanation that when we're chanting, we're praying to serve. Service means, as was explained by Shamananda Prabhu, it means without selfish desires, without motivation of the ego. So if we're getting these blessings through our chanting, through our hearing, but then we're not expressing the power of what we're getting through selfless service, then we're not really connecting. God gives us grace to use for a particular purpose. If we don't use it for that purpose, it will dissipate. If we use it for that purpose, it will keep coming infinitely. That is seva. So please keep these ideals as our highest aspirations in life. And don't let Kali, Maya, distract us with all these petty, insignificant, useless little things that could so much destroy our spiritual life if we let it, by making offenses to others, by fighting, by all of these other things. Whether you're right or wrong about some issue, whether you like somebody or don't like somebody, at the time of death, does it make any difference? Are you going to think back about that? What I didn't accomplish? At the time of death, all that matters is, did I please Krishna? Did I live with that integrity? Did I live with that dignity? So whatever the mind comes up with, it is important we see it in this whole picture. My mind is making this issue so important now. This person said this about me. I have to get revenge. This is not fair. Why is this happening? We're so disturbed and so obsessed with it. But just think, at the time of death, does it really make any difference? If Pakistan shoots a nuclear bomb at Chopati Beach, and the bomb's coming, are you thinking, but that person said that about me? It's not fair. I have to somehow or other clear the slate and get even. When the bomb's coming, are you watching? It never did mean anything. All these temporary, frivolous issues of this world rarely mean much of anything. But if we take them seriously and allow them to corrupt our integrity, allow them to compromise our attitude of seva, then those insignificant things accomplish the purpose of wasting our life. Wasting our life. Being attached to those little petty issues is more dangerous than the nuclear bomb coming. Because if you're in a grateful state, remembering Krishna, saying, Krishna, I'm ready, then the nuclear bomb is going to be a facility to send you back to the liberated state in the spiritual world. But being attached to all these petty, stupid little things that we fight about and we fret about, and we're in anxiety about all the time, mundane things, they're like nuclear bombs that are destroying our spiritual potential. So we have to see things in right perspective. And so easily we just get so caught up in our minds and so caught up in our egos and so caught up with these issues. We have to deal with issues. We have to resolve problems. We have to be responsible for these things. But it's very important that we do it in the context of these higher principles. And there's one higher principle for us, samsadhir haritoshanam. What will please Krishna? Everything else comes and goes, but ultimately what pleases Krishna is our integrity, is our devotion, is our gratitude, is our humility, is our enthusiasm. So let us build our families, our ashrams, our communities, our everything on the foundation of this principle. And then we could be happy. In whatever situation, we could be happy. That's what Srila Prabhupada, our beloved founder Acharya, gave to us. And he was such an example of this. He left his beautiful home in the holiest of all holy parts of the holiest of all holy places, Vrindavan, and put himself in situations where there was so much poverty, so much danger, so much controversy, so many threats, so much everything. And he dealt with it. He dealt with it in a spirit of how to help other people to taste the sweetness of Krishna. That's all. And that was the example he taught to us. I pray that Sri Radha Gopinath, Srila Prabhupada, and all of our acharyas, that their blessings, their grace, shower upon all of you, empower all of you, individually and collectively, to be such a dynamic, powerful family of devotees that you can overcome all these obstacles. As we were explaining yesterday in Nigdi, at that beautiful temple, we don't gain much by just blaming people. Because whoever we are, we will make mistakes. We have to deal with mistakes, especially serious ones. But if devotees are actually serious and really trying, and they have good motivations, even if they make mistakes, whatever it may be, as a family, we have to be there to work together to help to rectify our mistakes. to help to create real solutions. But if we start this whole egoistic game of blaming each other and counter-blaming each other and then counter the counter and counter the counter, it's just an endless spider web that entangles us and suffocates any possibility for spiritual progress. The health of our congregation is how, when problems come, we stand together, united, to resolve those problems in a real way. Otherwise, this blaming, gaming, a little problem creates such a worse problem. Vrindavan is an infinitely intimate family with infinite members of the family. So we're just a small little part. Let us understand our potential and be grateful to Srila Prabhupada and grateful to each other for giving us the opportunity to participate. Thank you very much.